the mic on.
Episode 68, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? First of all, what isn't wrong? I mean, I had an amazing guest for 66 and 67, and then this failed, the board failed, a camera went out. We talked for 2.5 hours. Jim Clemente, amazing. He's a former FBI profiler, and now he's a writer on Criminal Minds and producer. He has his own podcast that gets millions of listens, and this thing failed because of technology. It just, unfortunately, it was backing up in increments. So every few minutes, it saved the audio file, but the last 19 minutes went out, and it's driving me nuts. I've been telling myself, don't let it bother you. Just, you know, things happen. Pretend it's sort of like an undercover FBI recording because it has that grainy sound to it. But I'll be honest with you, it's killing me. It's driving me nuts because I like perfection. And a camera went out because the battery died. I mean, I'm doing this all myself. I do everything. Now, why can I do that? Because of technology. But what do I hate? Technology. I'm sick. I'm actually sick of technology. I'm sick of our phones and that we're connected to everything, that our entire lives are on here. And I'm talking not just like personal lives, but my house is on my phone, my locks, my thermostat, my refrigerator, my the cameras, and every single day, my coffee maker, and every single day something fails. Inevitably, something fails. So all day I'm just doing tech support, and it drives me nuts. And I just want to be disconnected. You know, my family, I was back home, Boston, for Thanksgiving. Their house seemed to work fine. They weren't connected to anything, and they seemed to be pretty peaceful and relaxed most of the day. They wake up, they have coffee, they read the newspaper, and they weren't like me. I was looking at my cameras to make sure my home was safe. I was making sure all my doors were locked. I was making sure, you know, everything was right. My doorbells are on my phone. So it's out of control. And the biggest problem is celebrities now don't have the privacy they once had. Celebrities, and I don't put myself in this category, but the big ones used to be able to do a movie and then disappear. They weren't expected to respond to every comment under a video. They weren't expected to be in front of a camera all the time. I'm doing a podcast, my own podcast right now. After this, I leave, I do Adam Carolla. Tomorrow, I'm doing Jim Clemente's podcast. Like, all I'm doing is producing content, and I'm tired of it. Celebrities used to, I wrote it down, they used to let their work show for itself. They weren't expected to comment on current topics and political events. That's important. Did not have to be accessible to fans all the time. You could separate work from personal life, but not anymore. And I'm not, you know, I'm talking like celebrities, like even people like me, that's barely in the limelight, barely making it. Okay. I'm expected. If people say, hey, I was at your show, I loved it. And then you don't comment under their comment. They're like, what are you, too big to not comment, you know, like YouTube, everything. They expect a response. And part of the problem was created by my guest today. My guest today, I welcome Martin Blenkow. Wait, I don't say the last, the W, right?
Yeah, it's Blenkow. But
Blenkow. Let me tell you something. It's C-O-W, it's cow. It's okay. But your family decided, you know what? We don't want to be called the cows, the bee cows.
I actually don't like the W in it, honestly.
Okay, but, well, let's drop the W.
Yeah, I know I should.
Yeah, Martin Blenkow is the co-founder
of Cameo.
Of Cameo, which is an app. Explain, you know what? My parents listen to this podcast. They're in their 80s. They don't get any of this.
No, they're going to get this, and they're going to call you up and be pissed off now, right? Your son isn't making money using my app. He literally doesn't have to leave his house. Think about it. You could have raised him up better than this.
Hang on one second. Martin Blenkow. Did I get that right?
Yeah,
my guest on What's Wrong with Orny Adams, episode 68. It's going to rock. Should hear this song. It's really cool. We're going to talk about Cameo. We're going to talk about how accessible do celebrities have to, like, I'm amazed at how many people, really big people, like Snoop Dogg is on.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest celebrity?
Bon Jovi is big. He raised a lot of money in one day. I mean, there's loads of people. There's, you know, Thiago Silva, the captain of the Brazilian national team. Harry Maguire, I believe he's the captain of Manchester United. Don't quote me on that one.
Congrats yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, it's great.
Big day for you,
big
huh?
Day,
break
yeah.
out the Vegemite. Oh, no, the Marmite.
The Marmite, yeah, I don't like Marmite. It was, you know, it's
good, I like you even better. Michael Rappaport's on there.
Michael Rappaport, I mean, loads of people. I mean, I forget all the names on it. There's, you know, you got Tyson, Mayweather, Pacquiao used it.
Politicians,
yes. Controversial, though.
Really? You know, like who?
You know, Donald Trump Jr., but he's not really a politician, but he's obviously in that space. Michael Cohen, there's Rudy Giuliani. There's people, loads of them. Loads
wow.
of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not 50,000. On Cameo. You know who's not on Cameo?
You.
I'm not on Cameo.
Mom and Dad, call him.
Yeah. I believe that you reached out to me several times on Instagram, and I don't think I responded because I just thought it was like probably one of your employees. But we met before I say how we met, tell my parents explain it in its simplest terms.
Cameo is an app that you record personalized video messages for your fans. They tend to be happy birthday, good luck, Merry Christmas, really nice messages. The talent charges a fee for doing that. So the prices range from $25 up to $2,500. Everything's done on the app. It's very simple. And the reason why Cameo last year was valued at $1 billion was if you look at the reaction videos of the fans and how much it means to people. People cry. They scream. We have some unbelievable reviews. It's really touching stuff.
Yeah. $1 billion. What does that mean to you, your bottom line?
It doesn't. Do you know what it is? I've been asked this question loads of times, and the one thing for me was my dad's passed away. He died January 11, 2011.
I'm sorry.
And you know, the thing is, you have success in life, but there's only so few people you want to hear it from. Like, my dad was such a great cheerleader, and not being able to see my dad at dinner go, son, whoa, like the way he would speak about me and things like that.
Well, I didn't want to tell you, but your dad called from heaven yesterday, and we actually I called the Lord. I said, Lord, could Mr. Blanco make a cameo type video for his son congratulating him. We'll probably come to that at some point.
Yeah, at some point. That's definitely in the works.
Yeah. But did you sell Cameo, or is it still privately held?
It's still privately held. Yeah, still privately held. Well, there's been, obviously, people have come in and acquired percentages of the company through their investments.
Okay. And somebody hires an actor to make a video, pays him $100.
Yeah.
You guys take what, 25%?
See, you know the business,
though.
You know the business. You know the business.
That's
greedy. The reason why you didn't want to do it. You know the business.
First of all, I'm negotiating right there.
It's 25%.
10% is fine. You guys aren't doing anything unless you put me higher up in the algorithm. And so my mind shows up in the feed more.
25%.
I get what you're doing. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Why do I hate Cameo?
Everybody
so much.
It. Do you know the people that aren't on Cameo, the worst part is they hate it. It's not even like they don't like it. It's like, I hate it. That's the thing that it drives me up. It drives me insane because I see so many people like yourself. And like I said to you when I saw you at the improv, it's like, I wanted to sell to you, but I know you knew what Cameo was. And I'd rather actually build a relationship at this point now and actually work on other things.
Well, I suspect you're selling me right now.
I already sold you when I had your mom and dad in a call. It's already been done. The silence so you can see it.
I'm not opposed to joining Cameo.
I know.
Even though I hate
it. I know, because that's why you wanted me here, because then you could make a debate and do the whole podcast thing.
Well, no.
I
will admit this. I have been hardcore against Cameo. So if I backtrack, you being up here will be my excuse to say, I had no intentions, but then I had Martin on, and man, he sold me, and I get it now, and I was wrong. I don't hate Cameo for other people.
Yeah.
I hate it for me. I hate it for me. I make personalized videos for people all the time that, like, maybe they're sick or they're in the hospital. I'm not opposed, but it makes me cringe to think that somebody could say, hey, Orny, could you say happy birthday to Mike? Tell Mike he's a big slob, you know, whatever. And it just, I look at it and I feel, you know, I feel the same way when I see celebrities that don't need to do commercials doing commercials. I sit there and go, how greedy are these people? How much money? Don't they have enough money? Why are they doing this commercial? And that's the way I feel. Like, I'm trying to think of who's on there. Like, Snoop's huge. There's somebody else that's really...
Ice Cube. I mean, there's loads of people. I mean, I'm going to blank. I mean, for me, it's who you're a fan of. So for me, I love, you know, Christopher Lloyd, Doc yep. Brown from Back to the Future. He's on Cameo.
Right.
And I love that stuff as a fan. Those are great movies to watch. You know, Billy Dee Williams from Star Wars. I mean, we've got loads of Harry Potter actors. We had Robbie Coltrane before he died. I mean, Gilbert Godfrey did tremendously well with us. And, you know, one of the things we saw when he passed away, people were so, you know, thankful that they got this message from him.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert is a character.
Yeah.
So I get that. If I went on and I went on as coach from Teen Wolf, mm-hmm. I would feel more comfortable. I'd have no problem with charging these kids, these pathetic Teen Wolf fans. No, I'm kidding. You know, money for me to yell at them as coach. Yeah. That to me, I wouldn't have a problem with.
Yeah.
Your Viacom would probably sweep in and want part of my earnings. But as personally, and this is why I'm not more successful. I've had this arrogance, this artist, arrogance is the word. Like I always would think, I funnel every thought through this filter, and the filter is this. What would Bob Dylan do?
You're true. You're 100% spot on. Your generation of thinking is completely accurate. The way you think is...
I've been called old.
No, you're not being called old. No, I had a lunch. A friend of mine invited me for a lunch, and Denzel Washington was there. And, you know, he said, Sidney Poitier said something to him, don't be accessible between these days, otherwise they won't come and see you on the weekends.
Mm.
You know, don't be accessible. I think it was like Monday. I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember it hitting me being like, being off the grid. Like, you know, you talk about all these other actors like Marlon Brando. Do you actually really know who Marlon Brando
no,
was?
No, and that's what makes it great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. Like, I think if I, you know, I love Elvis Presley. If I had gotten a video message from Elvis, I think it would diminish the way I thought about him.
Yeah.
Like, I just put, like, people like I just want to have a relationship. Like, I was at a bar once in New York City, but it was, like, sort of in a private area. And my friend brought me, and the owner came up and he said, hey, Mick Jagger's over there. Do you want to meet Mick Jagger? And I said, no, I don't. I love this guy. You know, Mick Jagger's up here. Yeah. I don't want to ruin it by him. I met somebody that I was such a fan of once, and they were an asshole to me.
But they were an asshole to you that day. Doesn't mean they're an asshole all the time. Like, there's times that somebody's met you, and you're just in a bad mood, and somebody's gets you at the wrong time. You can't judge somebody off those one incidences.
Right.
But the thing is with the video message, I get what you're saying, but I've seen it all the time. Like in LA, this is going to the customer situation. Customers don't know what they want, especially living in LA. When I used to go to people in the gym, hey, who would you want a video message from? They said, oh, don't need anyone. I see celebrities all the time, this and that. And then you go, oh, what's your favorite movie? And they'll be like, oh, I love Jaws. Mm-hmm. Like Richard Dreyfuss is on Cameo. Wouldn't it be great to get? And they go, yeah. And the personalization of the video, most of the time what people don't see is the talent really get into it. They'll talk for 3-5 minutes about a subject. And that's the wow of the Cameo.
Do you think it's because they're needy?
No. I think there's a lot. I think people have been doing the Comic-Cons. Did you do a Comic-Con?
Yes. Okay. So great. Thank you. This is a great example. And there are the leaf blowers. This happens. it's supposed to happen on Tuesdays.
Value. Production value.
Yeah, production value. It's ambient noise. It adds to the authenticity. I may purposely ruin the SD card on this. I might do this every time. The last 19 minutes of every podcast will be shitty audio. And see if you guys hang in there. I used to do Teen Wolf conventions. I did them in Australia. I did them in London. I did Germany. And I did them all over the U.S. And I'll be honest with you. They did not make me feel good. I felt like the fans were being taken advantage of. They were being charged maybe $100 to have a picture taken with me, and then I sign it. Some people were paying $250 to sit in a room with me, like 8 people. And I thought, to me, this feels gross. I love these fans. I think it's amazing. Teen Wolf, the movie, is coming out in January. And they just dropped a trailer yesterday. And I'm in the trailer, which is unbelievable because usually Coach is left out. So I was happy. But these fans are the most loving, respectful, and cool fans I've ever encountered. And I just, I want to shake all their hands. Like, you'd see them in the hotel lobby, like, during off hours of the convention, and they'd say, can we get a pic? And you couldn't give them a picture. But if you come see my comedy show, you can take a picture for free. And you can shake my hand in public for free. So I felt like, and this, again, is me, was taking advantage of the fan.
So,
and I stopped doing it for that reason.
That's fine. But that's fine. But the reality is, when you ever speak to a fan or somebody that talks to a celebrity, they always say this: thank you so much for your time. They put a lot of emphasis on your time. They really think, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So they're happy to pay.
Right.
And you have to understand that. They're happy to pay. They want to pay. They want to have this experience.
It doesn't mean...
And this is the only way they know how to do it.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it has to feel right for me.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I feel like it's overcharging. I felt like we're overcharging. Like, we were getting paid so much money to do these. Yeah. And it's like, I'm just so happy that people are even watching the show or watching my comedy show. Yeah. I feel bad. Like, the world has changed. So this my dad does not understand this. It is confusing to him. But on YouTube, which is the trend now, I've got a stand-up special that's up there. It just reached a million views, which for me is a lot of views.
Fantastic.
And I've noticed that some comedians, one specifically, inspired me to do this. You put up your Venmo, your PayPal, or you say you can super thank me under the video. You can super thank on YouTube and like tip $10, $20. People are just giving me money because they appreciate what I've done. And they understand the injustice of we're paying to have our specials made mm-hmm. and putting them on YouTube for free. I got an email yesterday. This my dad would be shocked by this. This person sent me $35 to my Venmo. Now, this is not unusual. The most increments coming in are $25 to PayPal.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And it's a woman, and she said, great special, Arnie. I laughed out loud so many times. I found out about you when Bobby Lee did your podcast, then watched you on Good For You, which is Whitney Cummings' podcast. And she said, I agree with Whitney Cummings. You should be the next big hit comedian. You're that good. Here's the best part. Cheers from Kuwait.
Wow. You could be a big deal in Kuwait. Maybe you're going to do stand-up in Kuwait.
That's what I'm thinking.
They tip me $35. How much are they paying for the ticket to get in?
Well, I mean, it's just amazing how supportive fans are.
Yes.
Do you find with Cameo that are people... I just want to hear if we can hear these... You waiting for a call?
No, I want to read a review.
Oh, go ahead.
I turned my phone off because... I didn't want to like get all my messages through and maybe disturb this stuff. And,
yeah.
It was going back to this point. It's not everybody has access, and sometimes these people really need a message.
Right.
And I know that sounds a bit weird. Like some people, there's this one story that really, you know, it's my favorite Cameo story. This was in 2017.
Okay.
So we were book Cameo at the time because we couldn't afford Cameo. My younger brother's like,
wait, say that again. You
book Cameo.
What does that mean?
No, it was Cameo, but now there's no book. So in front of Cameo back in the day, it was
book Cameo. Oh, it was book Cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did somebody own the website Cameo?
Yeah, but book Cameo. Anyways.
Much better. Much better.
So my younger brother's a medical marvel. He was up in Vancouver doing a talk. He's in the pub, and he's with some English guys, and they start talking, and he goes, oh, let's talk about family. Oh, what is your brother? Oh, my brother has an app. Oh, what's the app called? Book Cameo. And the guy goes, I got one. This was 2017. This is okay. Early. So the app came out in October 2017. The idea was October 2016, but the app came out 17. And Monty's like, yeah, because English is very take the piss sense of humor. Like,
yeah,
I got the, you know, it's how we are. So Monty thought he was lying, and he goes, no, I got one from CT Fletcher. So CT Fletcher was this motivational power. He's a motivational powerlifter. He's the Superman from Compton. Great guy. And this kid wanted to quit acting. You know, he'd been going to London, you know, not making enough money. Wanted to quit. Wanted to support his mother. Wasn't making money acting. As you know, acting is not, you don't do it for the money.
I do.
Well, now you probably do. Well, it doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound like you're completely opposed to making money. I can tip you though.
Yeah. Please tip me. Venmo at Arnie Adams.
And so this kid bought a video from CT Fletcher saying, CT, I'm thinking about quitting acting. You know, you're kind of like a father figure to me. Can you give me some advice? And CT Fletcher goes, Chance Perdomo, now's not the time to even contemplate quitting, motherfucker. You don't come this goddamn far to call it quits. Any motherfucker can puss out. Goes on for 2.5 minutes. Kid watched every day for a few months and landed the lead role of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Wow, that's great.
He's doing like the new Boys spinoff. He's the lead of that. And that was from a cameo, the power of a cameo, right? But I want to also go to the talent. Now people think it's cheesy and they sell themselves out. So CT Fletcher, I met. He had a heart attack June 16th, 2017. I believe that. Yeah, 2017, June 16th. And he called me up in January and said, because he actually needed to use Cameo because he couldn't do the other ways to make money because of his heart.
And that, I think, is great and fair.
Had
by the way, he's doing motivational.
Needed a heart transplant, okay?
Mm.
And so he calls me up in January of 2018 and goes, Martin, I need to come off Cameo. I said, why? He says, I'm out of breath after each Cameo. My heart can't take it. And I go, oh my God, I'm so, can you not do it less? Listen, I wasn't thinking about the money. I was saying, can you do less, like more of things? He says, that's not who I am. And I was, wow. So this guy literally put his life into each Cameo to make it that special. And see, that's the thing is, it's like, but, and how much of an impact it had on this kid.
Right.
That's what I, it's like, you don't, like, back in the day, the money wasn't there. So I used to tell people, you don't know how badly this person needs this message.
Yeah.
And we're a gifting service. So someone's buying it for somebody. But living in Los Angeles, you see comedians buying another comedian to make fun of themselves.
Right.
And they use it in a way that takes away the gold and the special of the thing. That's what hurts me and upsets me.
Yeah.
And but then again, it's entertainment. You're having a laugh, but then you're having a laugh at the expense of someone else.
Right. What other abuses are happening on Cameo?
There's been a lot, unfortunately.
Have there been lawsuits?
You know what? On the top of my head, no. I can't think of any.
That's great.
But
first of all, I just want to say this. It was started in 2017. It was started in Chicago.
So Stephen and I started the business. Chicago is... Stephen's the CEO. Steve's in Chicago. And the first money came from the Chicago businessman. So all the Chicago...
And who's the third partner?
Devin.
Devin.
Devin Townsend.
And did he come on later?
So yeah, he came on later. So Stephen and I are geniuses, but we set up a tech company and we don't have a code. So yeah. Devin... and Devin was perfect because Devin was a Vine star.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I read that.
And so what was interesting is it's like we went after the athletes first, Stephen and I, thinking I'll, you know, create moments that inspire, have athletes say motivational.
Well, talk about your background. You were an NFL agent.
Yeah. So we're going to get rambled over here. Yeah.
I remember everything
rant?
And I bring
rant?
It back.
Should I rant?
You can rant all you want. I mean, I want, before we get into that, I have to get this question off my mind. Then we'll do the NFL. Yeah. We'll do everything you're talking about. What percentage of people are on there because they need the money versus they're being sort of emotionally philanthropic?
I wouldn't even know the answer. I mean, a lot of people that I've signed up, obviously the money is a driving factor. How much can I make? That is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of money on the platform. You know, there's a lot of soccer players. Most of Chelsea's soccer team's on. And you think about those guys are making hundreds of thousands a week playing for their team. There's a lot of top sportsmen that are in the NFL. You know, Drew Brees, he does it for his foundation. I mean, that's, but then again, that's...
Again,
I don't judge.
I don't know. I do judge because I segregate athletes and motivational speakers from a character. My words are my words. When I get up on stage, I'm responsible for everything I say. Everything I say on this podcast, I'm responsible for. This is who I am. This is my essence. Now, when I'm on Teen Wolf, that's somebody else's words. That's why I don't mind, and a character. I don't mind doing that. Wouldn't mind doing that as a cameo. But if you're an athlete, you should be doing this. And that's the origins is you were representing an athlete, right?
So, yeah. So I became an NFL agent years ago. Lee Steinberg. You know who Lee Steinberg is?
Yeah.
If people don't know, he was the first super agent. He's Jerry Maguire. He had Troy Aikman. His first client was a number one pick, Steve Barkowski. Went to Atlanta. He was Jerry Maguire, the first super agent. And he said, Martin, you'd be a good agent. You'd be a great agent. And I was like, yeah, I'm not interested. I'm doing the movie stuff. I'm doing that. Like, and then obviously that business dies on me and was dying on me. And I thought, father of two kids, I've got to evolve or die. And I need to find a way to make more money to support my family. And I went up to Seattle to visit some friends. And in 2006, I walked onto USC football, not soccer, football.
Right. That's where you went to school, USC.
Yeah, went to USC. And I broke the walk-on. I ran a 4.3 at USC, walked on. And
that's a 50-yard?
No, 40-yard.
40-yard. Okay.
Yeah. And I broke the record for the fastest walk-on ever or something like that.
So funny that you're a walk-on breaking the running record. You know what I'm saying? You were a run-on.
That was it. It was never a walk-on, exactly. I was running.
Yeah.
I was sprinting, actually.
Yeah.
And the coach at the time was a guy called Rocky Sutter. He was my coach, obviously Pete Carroll. And I rang up and I said, I'm coming up to Seattle to Rocky, and he said, come to VMAC. And I said, can I bring a friend? He said, yeah, best day ever. I walked into the VMAC and I'm like, oh my God, I want to be an agent. The lights went off, you know, just wow. That moment of like, I want to do this. Cause I didn't make it as a runner and I didn't make it in sports. So for me, it's like, I wanted to look after these guys.
Right.
I actually wanted to be vested into them and see them be successful. And I got excited by the idea of being involved in that. So I went and become an agent, which, by the way, when I took the test, I think 97% of the people failed.
What do you mean? There's an agent test?
It's quite hard. Like, most of the people are lawyers in the room, and I think most of the people failed.
So it's a lot of legal.
Yeah, legal stuff. So I passed, and I signed a guy from the Seattle Seahawks, a guy called Cassius Marsh, and I had him record a video message.
Hmm.
He recorded a video message for my buddy saying, hey, Brandon, congratulating on Maverick. I know if he gets your athletic ability, he'll play for the Seahawks one day. Go Hawks. And it was really cool. He was driving his G-Wagon, had all his tats on. It just looked kind of a fun video.
Yeah.
Didn't think much of it. September 11th, 2016, he was the player of the game against the Miami Dolphins. And he was all over the press. If you didn't know his name yesterday, you know it today.
Mm.
Everybody was talking about him.
And this is the guy you rep.
This is the guy I rep.
Look at you.
And so I'm like, shit, I need to make him off the field money. That's all that matters. Because that's how I'm going to become...
Keep him for life.
Keep him for life, but also become more of an asset to other people.
Right.
Going, hold on a minute, I can't compete with CAA. I can't compete with... So my thing was, if I can find a way to make them off the field money, that's where I'm going to succeed. And the video message was the thing.
Wow.
And that blew up, and it's been an absolute blessing. And you know, I personally signed up 5,000 people. And I've loved meeting it. I mean, it does beat you up. It's not glamorous. It's not, you know, I probably became an alcoholic.
Were you drunk the other night at the
No, I wasn't. Well, John doesn't like me drinking.
Is that true?
Yeah, Lovis doesn't like
me
drinking.
We were at the Improv. I was doing a show at the Improv the other night. It was Wednesday night, I believe, or was it Friday?
No, it wasn't a Friday.
It was a Wednesday.
It would have been a weekday, yeah.
And I saw John Lovitz sitting in the back. I go, what's Lovitz doing? He's not on the show. Why is he hanging out? This guy, you know, and you were with him.
Yeah.
And I did my show, and I didn't find that audience that warm. Like, I posted a clip on, yelling at the audience, calling them the most boring and uninteresting idiots.
Well, you changed the atmosphere in that room, though. To be fair, the other guys that came on, I think they were testing out their jokes and the energy wasn't there. Then you got up, the energy changed. And you definitely, you brought people in. You're average looking to this one guy. I mean, I couldn't see him from behind, but at the back of his head, he did look average looking. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, good. So he had an average back of the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I found out later that wasn't his wife. He was on a first date.
That's it. You completely cock-blocked him, didn't you?
He cock-blocked himself. He wasn't good-looking. The guy thought he was good-looking. Like, it's funny because when I'm on stage, I'm throwing stuff out, just testing.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing what limits I have. And when I say to an audience, to me, it's fascinating that I can say, what an average-looking group of people I'm in front of right now. And not to get pushback. But then I saw this guy. I saw the switch in his eye. I go, this guy... This guy thinks he's good looking. I go, you don't think. Do you really? I mean, we're in LA. You know what I mean? The bar is pretty high for good looking.
Yeah.
And he really believed it.
But poor guy, it's his first day. He really messed him up. He's feeling good about himself. That's the best he's going to look. That his first day, he's trying to impress the girl. He's trying to get lucky.
She was out of his league.
Oh, you completely destroyed him. There's no woman that's going to be like, find that guy attractive after you just called him average for 20 minutes.
But I call myself average too. And
yeah, but then she's probably looking at you going, he's better looking than her.
Of course I am. I'm an onstage 8. Yeah. Offstage, you know, 6. You know, offstage, nobody looks
Your
at me.
Your arms look pretty big up there.
You know, I don't want to be big.
Well, they did look like you did some push-ups or bicep curls.
Not before. Do I need to reform? Am I too big on stage?
I don't know. They look big. They look pretty swell.
No, to be am I?
No, you see, now you're gonna get. Are you one of those crazy people? You're gonna start going into all
no,
that.
No, I'm curious what you're.
Yeah, you should do some push-ups between each one.
No. Am I too? Am I top heavy? Do I look ridiculous?
No, you're not top heavy. No. I think I know. You just noticed that I saw some guns.
I've always had big arms.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't want. Listen, I love what we call soccer players. You call them football players. I love that body type is amazing. Their legs are so sturdy and they've really ripped upper body. Like, that's a good look. I'm the opposite. I have no legs and then I just have biceps. And people are more concerned. You change the energy of the room with your biceps. And so so after the show, you came, I talked to John and John had some nice things to say about my act, and you introduced yourself, and we were having a great conversation.
Yeah.
I said, let's stop talking now and or I was meeting some friends at the bar, and we started texting. We exchanged numbers. And at 6 a.m, you texted me and said, it was great meeting you. We should get together next week. Yeah. I said, come on my podcast. Yeah. And you said, absolutely. And that's what I love. Like you and Jim Clemente, the last guest, it's one text. You guys agree. The time works out with the two texts. You try and get comedians on your podcast. The egos, these people, like they see it as they're doing me a favor. Like, do they want to help me grow my podcast? They're too busy. They're too busy. So they'll say, you know what? I'm so busy doing other podcasts. So essentially they're saying, your podcast is not a priority compared to these other podcasts.
And this is another thing I didn't realize. I didn't realize how much free time actors have. Mm. I was so shocked by that.
Well, why not? Like even on the set.
Oh, and that's the thing is I didn't realize. I always thought, oh my God, these actors are so busy doing this. And the comedian, they've actually got the most free time.
Right.
I mean, when you're busy, you're busy. Like if you're doing your stand-up, but then it's in the evening. If you're acting, okay, more you got your times. Like Lovitz, I can always get hold of him.
Let's call him right now. Put him on speaker.
I would.
Put him on speaker. And while you're doing that, has anybody bombed on Cameo? Meaning, like they went on and then no.
Yeah, they have. I was gonna call. Yeah, they have. I mean, sometimes it's just they don't get. It does happen. Unfortunately, sometimes they get on the platform, they don't get discovered. People don't know really what they want, and it happens that way. And it is upsetting because you know you're dealing with somebody that has an ego that, and I don't want that to like people don't like.
But see, that's what would happen to me. I just know it. Like I wasn't invited to all the parties in high school, and I just know.
I can
if
see
I go,
why though.
I had a dream last night that I went to a party. What does that mean? Why would I have not have been?
I was just trying to wind you up because I could know that's going to mess your head up a little bit, Joe.
No, because I know when I accept it. And now, Martin, I don't mean to brag, but I'm invited to
everything.
Party.
Yeah.
Everybody wants me there. I'm Mr. You know, you want the party to be hype and cool. You got to, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody, who's that guy? Because these other people in this town are boring and average personalities.
No, but I mean, you've got, like I said, you were so funny. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. Well, you know, your stand-up. And that's the thing is I like being around comedians. I think that of all the people I've met, comedians are the ones that fascinate me the most.
Hmm, why is that?
I just think you guys have a beautiful brain.
Hmm.
I think I don't know your story. So, Mum, I don't know his background, but like most of the people I've met have been through some abuse as a child, and comedy was their outlet, and they try to make people happy.
I didn't. The only abuse I've had is I had a guest on here once that made fun of my biceps and said he could see why I wasn't invited to the parties. Come on, get Lovitz on. I want to see if Lovitz really picks up.
Let me call Lovitz.
So Lovitz is doing well on Cameo, right?
He's done very well, yeah.
Oh.
Let me call
him. I cut you off before. What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Oh. I was probably in.
Put a speaker as high as it goes. Put it right into the microphone. Into the.
Can you hear that?
I don't put it in. Like, hold it. Is it on speaker?
It's on speaker, yeah.
I should have FaceTimed him. We're calling John Lovitz to see if he is so pathetically bored and has no life that
he could be playing tennis.
Oh, now there's an excuse?
He could be playing tennis. Let's FaceTime him.
Yeah.
FaceTiming him here.
Oh, good.
I'm going to put it. Let's hope he's not sitting on the toilet. Oh. He hanged up.
He hung up on you? Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh.
All that bragging. Who else can we call?
Let me just text. I'm on.
Martin Blencow. Cow. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Martin Blencow is the co-founder of Cameo, an app that I'm maybe warming up to. I would do it as coach, but here's the thing. I want VIP white glove service from somebody over there to make sure that I end up in the right pile. Okay. Meaning like let's give it a shot.
Let's do it for a week.
A week. We have to probably do 2 weeks. And but here's the thing.
Do it up to Christmas.
My friend did.
But be coach.
Yeah, my
Who's your friend?
My friend Harlan Williams is on there.
Okay.
And believe me, if you're a Harlan fan, get one of his cameos because that guy is just so funny. And he loves it. He thinks it's great. He thinks like you do. A lot of people, like I threaten to quit comedy all the time and doing this podcast because it's so much work. And people say, but think about the joy you give people. And Harlan sees the joy that these cameos bring these people.
So going on that point, this one's from Tom Wilson. So he went into character. So Tom Wilson.
He's great. Biff.
Thank you. You're a comedian. You, of course.
Yeah.
So he would do the videos like knock on the camera, butthead.
Yeah.
Complete winner character. Did tremendously well with us.
That's great.
And this is one of the reviews. He sent it to me. And he was very hard to get on, by the way. He goes, my son, who's autistic and rarely smiles, it was a wonderful moment watching view Tom Wilson wish him a happy birthday. He smiled for the full 3 minutes. Trust me, this is more special than 100 Christmases rolled into one. Thank you.
Wow.
And that's what we do. And that's the thing that upsets me. Is it?
Are you capable to charge them more afterwards if they liked it that much?
I knock on the door. I personally go over and say, look, come on, I think that was $1,000 one.
Can you tip on Cameo?
Yeah, you can tip.
Wow.
You can tip. But, you know, that's the thing that's the thing that I've seen so special. Like, I saw this one with Sean Astin, Rudy from Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. He's in, you know, Michael from Goonies. He's in everything. And, you know, he did this one video message for a father that was going in for leukemia, going for treatment. And he said he was so motivated and pumped up to go take it on because of this 8-minute message he got from Sean.
Yeah, that I get. That I get. I really do. So you're repping this NFL player.
Yeah.
You create this one video after the game where he was like the player of the game. Is that what happened?
So he had done a video a few months prior. And then after that game, the player of September 11th, I wanted to find a way to make him off the field money. That was it. That was the only thing I was interested in. Whatever, you know. So we sold merch. We sold merch for him.
Right.
We sold video messages. Video message was the easiest thing we could do.
How were you doing that?
At the time, so Devin had developed a thing where you could use Telegram. You could record the video message from that way. And then the app came out later. So for a lot of times, people literally had to remember the request, press record, do it that way. And now when you do it, it's a teleprompter. You just read the teleprompter.
This is Cameo. Who's going to set up my profile? Because I don't want to do
I'll
it.
I'll do it. I've done hundreds of these.
Okay.
Videos.
All right. We'll talk. Okay. So now.
be coach.
Now. Okay. So now I'll just blow the whistle and yell at people.
That's it.
I'd love. Yeah. So now, in fact, one woman reached out to me a couple of months ago and said, you're my father's favorite comedian. We'd love to get you to do a birthday wish. And I said, come to my show this week. I'm at the Improv. And I did it for free.
Amazing.
I did it for free. But those days seem to be coming to an end, everybody.
Please.
Yeah. So you have this idea. So I have ideas all the time, but I don't execute it. How does the execution come out? And what limitations do you see in your brain? Because all I see is limitations. I'm fascinated. Like that Uber, the people that started Uber, they thought we can get people to drive other people in their cars. I thought
it's crazy.
How legally I would go, this is never going to happen. Yeah. Were there limitations like that?
Yeah.
With Cameo.
You've got to know your strengths and weaknesses, right? So my strength was I felt very good about signing people up. I really felt that was going to be my skill set. And, you know, that's a challenge. You know, it's a brick by brick business. Selling a talent to do something that is new, that no one's ever done before, it's tough.
Right.
So I wanted to focus on that side of thing. And that's what I did. I had the blinkers on and I focused on signing up everybody.
And were you first going after athletes or were you going after the comedians?
Yeah, I went after high profile athletes first. I wanted to go more top down.
How do you have access to these people?
I didn't. Ones I had access to, I asked them straight away. So like my wife she doesn't really practice now, but she was a real estate agent and she had done Nigel de Jong's house. He's a soccer player in the World Cup final in 2010. He's the guy that kicked the guy in the chest. If you ever saw that game?
I don't remember that.
Anyway, so and I asked him to do it. He did it. And then my brother was good friends with a guy called Mario Tojo that played for England at rugby because they went to school together. I asked him. I had no shame in asking anybody.
Yeah.
If I knew you 1%, I was going to ask
you. No, I saw it when you approached me at the Improv. I said, this guy is really likable. If I had 10% of your likability, I'd be a major star today, but I'm just so unlikable. And I saw you were a salesman, but you were gentle. I'm now convinced, having talked to you now for 35 minutes, that you were there with John to get me.
That was the only reason.
That was it.
I looked at the lineup, the only reason.
I'm being conned.
No, do you know?
Is Cameo a Ponzi scheme?
Yes.
I knew it. That money is being held in the Bahamas with Sam. With Sam. Sam's got your money. Yep. But how does this become, how do you apply to be in the App Store? How do you convince?
So that's Devin. So Devin did all that stuff and Steve did raise the money.
And Devin is the Vine star. And then Vine went out of business and
Devin
doesn't have a job.
Exactly.
How many people were on the app when you launched?
Not many, probably four. It was like Cassius Marsh, like Marrow, I think a soccer player that Steven went to school with. I've forgotten his name, unfortunately. It was whoever we could get.
So there's four people on the app.
Yeah,
how are they telling people go to the App Store and download this app?
Tweeting it, put it in their Instagram. But literally a year went on, you could do the swipe up, you could do link in bio. All these things really benefited us because now you could set people directly to your page, which was huge. But like, again, I think know your strength. My strength was going and get people, meeting people, signing people up. I was passionate about it. Mm-hmm. I was this. My heart pounded. Mm. I was excited about who I was going to meet. I am a fan of many things. You know, I love entertainment. I love sports. So I was I had the most random knowledge for an English guy. I knew all the football players, American football players. So I went to the Hall of Fame in 2019 and signed up everybody.
Hmm.
And I love it, you know. But
and what is the other CEO?
Steve.
What's he doing? It doesn't sound like he's doing anything. To be honest, he sounds like dead weight over there.
He raised all the money. I mean, he raised a lot of money.
How much money were you able to disclose?
He raised $100 million last year. He raised $30 million before that.
But why do we need $100 million if it's already up and running?
You know what, to expand it and make it better and improve the brand. But the problem is, it's like Cameo is a lot bigger than a billion.
Do you think you should take 10 of that million to get Orny Adams? Do you think maybe you slip it under my gate?
I thought it was 11, so thank you for thinking less of yourself.
No, I was going to say 12.5 and you could take your 25, your greedy 25% Cameo fee.
The thing is, like Cameo, it works. Like Cameo works. That's the thing that's upsetting. Like it works. It's 2 minutes a day for some talent, 2 minutes a day. You make 2 minutes a day, 7 days a week, you make 100 grand a year.
What? Wait, say that again.
2 minutes a day,
yeah.
7 days a week, you make 100 grand a year.
How's that possible?
So you make $300 a day. I'm doing a video message.
How much would... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
And then you do it 7 days a week. And then some days, obviously, some days it's zero, some days it's three, some days it's this. But it averages out. Like there's one talent I saw, he made 480 grand. I think it was from 40 hours of work that year.
Yeah.
So 40 hours of work, he made 480 grand.
But this is only going to make me feel like a loser when I'm making
not everybody
4,000.
But it's not that. It's fandom.
For the year.
It's fandom. Some people have different fandoms. So like the Harry Potter audience is amazing.
Right.
It's an infinity line. It's constantly growing. People have always been introduced to the books, the rides, Lego. There's always something.
Okay. Well, how are the Teen Wolf fans doing on Cameo?
Do you know what? Honestly, I hate to say this. I don't know. But I haven't seen Teen Wolf. So that's where I struggle with. So like I love Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox where he wore the 42 jersey. I love that. I don't know, but there's fandom. You know, the thing is when you talk about Coach getting into character, that's the gold.
Coach is it's somebody just put on because they released a trailer yesterday. Somebody on TikTok, all of a sudden I was getting all these notifications. Somebody made a video, Coach 2017, and then the shot from the trailer where the camera's pushing in on me and everyone's jumping up and down and I'm just standing there like, it's like the money shot, you know what I mean? Yeah. The hero shot, they call it. And
sounds amazing.
Within less than an hour, 50,000 people had already seen it and commented. And I'm telling you, it's been widely discussed, so I'm not disclosing anything or being arrogant. Coach is one of the biggest characters on that show. For some reason, it connected. Mm. I blame the writers and producers and the directors, Jeff Davis, Russell McCauley. They created an atmosphere for me to just walk in and just, boom, knock it out of the park. So I do believe that these people would be, but I'm not sure that what kind of money they have. I also feel bad when people sometimes come up after my show to buy merchandise and I don't think that they have the means. I feel bad taking...
Yeah, you see it. I mean, I've seen it at Comic-Cons. I went to a Comic-Con recently and, you know, I could overhear someone saying I spent $2,500 more than... I didn't engage in conversation with them, right. But I could overhear them saying, oh, I spent $2,500 more than I have.
Yeah.
And that's because people want to escape the reality of this world and enter the fantasy world.
Right.
And that's your Teen Wolf is a fantasy for them. I mean, this world's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy. Like your cousin passed away recently. My friend's mum passed away last week. You're always dealing with something in this world.
Yeah.
And I think escape into this entertainment world, it's important.
So have you went to Comic-Cons to sign people up? Or?
I've done everything. Yeah, I went there. I used to go there to sign people up. But I enjoy going. I enjoy seeing the fans.
Oh, that's great.
I like seeing them dressed up, everything. I love it.
Well, you know what? I love the dressing up, the cosplay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I love the most about the Comic-Cons, which is free. It's the way they interact with each other in the hotel lobbies. Mm-hmm. They're playing games of humanity. What's that?
But they're communities in communities.
Yeah, right. And there's always infighting.
Yeah.
So they'd always come to me to like, you know, to mediate some sort of fight that was going on between this group or that group. Mm-hmm. Also, the convention would start and some people were sharing a hotel room and then they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fighting at those conventions. But
I mean, I love that fandom. I see the fandom, you know, I've seen it in Germany, I've seen it all over places, and it's the same. And so now I've gone to producing. So I just did one, a TV show called Fantastic Friends with the Weasley twins from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of people pop into each episode. So we had Maisie Williams, who was Arya Stark in Game of Thrones in one episode, Sophie Skelton from Outlander, We had Ivana Lynch, who's Luna Lovegood.
Right.
And we had all these people. And now we're doing season two. We just filmed with Alfie.
Where is this airing?
It's going to be, well, it's HBO Max in Europe right now.
Great.
And then the US, we're closing up our deal with the US. But I've enjoyed that so much. And now I'm trying to do more in that space because I see that fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's fantastic. I don't think there's enough content. Talking about earlier about content creation, there's nothing, like, you've got to go do this. Why not do something different? Why not go do a travel show? Why not show off who you are?
Right.
Embrace the fandom.
Have you figured out
your personality?
Well, have you figured out what show's right for me? Have you?
Yeah, I was going to say some bad joke, but I don't know.
But,
Well,
that's what I love about this podcast. Like, I like to have people on and have the first conversation.
This is our first conversation.
Yeah, with somebody. I like, hold on, let's get to know each other, you know, in front of people. Because the reason I started this podcast, my entire life, I've met interesting people. In fact, when I was home last week, I brought the letter. I'll read it on a future podcast. I was working at a country club as a caddy. And I met a guy whose job it was to give away his family money. That's his entire... And I was fascinated by this guy. And I wrote a letter. I was probably, you know, 13, 14 years old. And I've always met these people and they open up and they tell me secrets. People have told me secrets that could put them in jail. People have told me secrets that would end their marriages. And I thought, this is a skill set that I have. Now, can I get people like you to open up and be something that they're not normally...
So were you looking for a job when you spoke to Jim Clemente?
Yeah. In fact, if we listen to the podcast, I could tell he's really into this Idaho murder, the four college students. And I said, Jim, you want to unretire, don't you? And he goes, I do. I go, I'm going to unretire you, and we're going to go up there and solve it together. And he goes, that's a TV show.
Yeah, of course it is.
Because I have that nascent brain.
That's a TV show.
I have the brain that sees things that he doesn't see.
That's a comedian's brain.
Right.
Not trying to put you in a category, but that's profiling. If you look at the beautiful brain, beautiful business brain.
Well, we both agreed at the beginning of the podcast that a comedian, when I'm on stage, it is an interrogation. I'm breaking this audience down. I'm earning their trust. I'm getting them to open up and be, you know, to really, like that guy off stage. If I'd said to a guy on a first date, you're average, you'd get punched.
Yeah.
On stage, he bought into who I was, hook, line, and sinker. And when I'm done with the show, I know it's a success. If I look out into the audience and think, I could start a cult with this group right here. And, you know, I have the power. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. And that's what you need. If you're in the FBI, like I think I could get Jim to say things. That, in fact, I know he did. I know it was unlike any other podcast he had done.
Because he was relaxed and comfortable. I think the setting works, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a little... Is it RV? What'd you call it? RV?
Yeah, it's an RV. But it's I call it Big Yellow.
Yeah.
For me, I've met people and I've sat next to them that are horrible, horrible human beings. And I don't judge. I just want to hear the story. How'd you end up there? What happened? How do you feel about that? And I just let it go. And I think you can learn something from every single person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was sort of what this podcast, and it hasn't evolved into it, but I think it's getting to that. And part of it is like, if you notice, like sometimes I'm tight and meaning physically, like my body ties up and I'm anxious about the next question or I cut you off or whatever. I want to bring it back. Sometimes I go back and listen. I go, geez, I wasn't listening at that point. Why did I fade out? Why didn't I let him finish or her finish that story?
Can you say that again? I wasn't listening.
Yeah. I don't think you've been listening to the entire podcast, to be honest.
That's the thing is that it's about business and whatever you want in life. It's that want. You want the podcast to be this way. So it will be because you're putting your energy into what you want. And that's something I find so interesting. Like when it's going back to like the big, like how did you find what you're good at? Stephen wanted to do that part of the business. I wanted to do,
yeah.
It was our want.
You got lucky.
And the passion in those things and just do the best at your job.
And it's great that you found, are you a little concerned that your identity for the rest of your life is going to be co-founder of Cameo? Or is there a second life?
You know, I do think about that stuff because it's, you know, you don't want to be coach.
Right.
You always want to be evolving and showing that you can do a million things. You know what? I'm very grateful and proud of how my life's changed. You know, so
how did it change?
It changed a lot. Oh man,
you lost some friends, didn't you?
You lose friends, yeah.
Why do you lose friends?
I think success is
threatening.
It happens, but listen, everything happens.
No, explain this to me because I tend to think that once you're more successful, you have more friends.
There's an entitlement to your success, right? That's what it is.
What do you mean?
So, like, I just think people, if you're successful, people just want a piece of that. You see, that's all it is. And I don't want to put my energy into talking about that part, that stuff. I'd rather talk about me moving forward. I mean, going back to like, okay, when
Are you saying that you lost friends because they wanted money from you or something from you? Is it cringy when I say, what's the show that you could create for me? Do you feel like everybody wants something from you? Is that where you lost your friends?
No, I think the reality is you don't really have core friends. I think now moving forward, I'm very select the people. Actually, the friends people...
Not really. You're friends with John Lovitz.
No, but I'm more friendly with people that I don't need anything from. Like, John, I just like John. He's got a good heart.
Yeah.
He's a little weird, but he's got a good heart, you know? Yeah. And like, one of my daughters had dyslexia. He came over to the house to say, listen, I've got dyslexia. And I'm like, damn it, why did he say that? Now she's going to be really upset.
Oh, no, I'm going to turn into this.
Yeah. No, but he went, listen, you see the world differently and you're going to do great things. And then he went Tom Cruise and all these people. And I thought that was amazing.
Did he charge you for that?
$150.
Yes. Yeah.
No, he didn't. But because I never know people say I'm joking.
Yeah.
No, I think.
I think they know you're joking. But, if they don't, by the way, if they don't, who cares?
Who cares?
You can't be responsible for ignorant people not understanding comedy or inflection. So,
but you know, going back to the point about earlier on, I said, you know, 2018. It was April 2018. I remember this. I'm, you know, sitting in my brother's kitchen crying, thinking what I've done wrong in my life, because I was like, Mom, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to come home and live with you.
How old?
I was probably 32, 31, 32. Mm. Like, Mom, I've got two. I need to come live with you. And that's not, that really was a challenging time, because it was like, I believe in America. I love America. America's the greatest country in the world. And all of a sudden, I'm like, gonna have to leave America, go to England, because I can't afford a beer. I can't have the pursuit of my dreams. And I'm giving up my American dream. I'm leaving everything. And my dad made a point. My dad was made bankrupt by his best friend when I was younger. And my dad always made a point, says, Martin, if you fail, they'll never let you forget it. And that still haunts me.
So what were the failures, the early failures?
The early failures.
And your dad said, if you don't, say it again.
If you fail, people won't let you forget it. Because my dad went bankrupt and no one ever let him forget he went bankrupt.
Okay, so was he saying that to motivate you to not fail?
I think he was just giving me fatherly advice.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do something, son, go succeed.
By the way, if you succeed, people don't forget it either. You'll always be the co-founder of Cameo, which started in 2017, is now in everyday words.
It's in The Simpsons.
It's in the vernacular. That's amazing. See?
Yeah, that was cool.
That's amazing.
It was a little bit bad how they did it, but yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Like, Krusty needs money. It's like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, well, Krusty's perfect.
He is a perfect one. Yeah.
You would get Krusty on if you could.
Yeah.
They should be doing animated cameos.
That's exactly the one. Animation to me is everything.
Yeah.
Because I can't make you do it. Like, licensing animation, that's to me is the future of the business.
Mm.
Because I can't control talent. I can't control your price. I can't.
Yeah.
Was animation is fantastic.
So what were the early on failures that made you stronger? Because I think failing is fantastic. You should embrace it without fear and learn from it and move forward and screw them if they don't let you. All the failures you've had in the past are negated by the success of Cameo. So what are some of the things that made you think you have to go home at age 32 and live with your mom?
So going back to like the failure stuff, like one of the things that really is going back to USC football. I mean, I spent 2 years building myself up. I was 230 pounds at one point. I was jacked. I was down at Venice and Gold's Gym, just getting swole, running fast, drinking 60 egg whites a day, eating 2 pounds of red meat a day. Oof. I did everything basically to train myself for the combine. So 225, I could do all that. I know NFL, they have all these things, stats, measurements for athleticism. I could crush all that. And I ran a 4.3 in the rain, by the way. There's a video of it, someone talking about how I ran in the rain. And went out to USC football, gave me the playbook. The one thing I didn't do for those 2 years, I didn't prepare for football. I prepared for the combine.
Right.
I didn't prepare for football.
So like the people taking the SATs, the standardized test to get into college, they would study how to answer a question if you knew two of the answers were wrong. So I'm sorry.
And I noticed, let me
cut you off with a horrible analogy.
I wasn't prepared. And I always made up a story because I was always embarrassed to tell people that I quit. So I didn't know what I was doing. I got really embarrassed. I was like, oh, fuck, what am I doing? I remember there was one play where there's a guy, running back's got the ball, and he's coming down my way. I'm like, yes, finally, I can hit him hard. I'm going to show him what I can do. I'm getting blocked. Like, what the heck is this? And it was just so embarrassing. I didn't know what I was doing. I just felt, putting the pads, I just didn't know what I was doing. And I quit. Now, I tell people, because to hide your shame, they said go back to track, because I originally was a very good track star. Like I won South of England. I came second at England school. So I had a very good track background. Mm-hmm. So, and the thing is in life with Cameo, there's been so many times in the journey, I'm like, I just want to quit. This sucks. I want to quit.
Even now,
yeah. Because you're going to question yourself. You're like, you're sitting there. Nobody wants to do it. It was so hard early on getting people on. You think it's hard. It's still hard. It's harder now. Now it's harder. But back in the day, it was like, it felt impossible. I'm
so
when I laughed at, no. My client would never consider this. And you're sitting there going, oh.
And I want to get back to that because there were four people on it at the beginning, but were there business failures that happened?
Within Cameo or just in...
I mean, it sounds like you were doing acting, you were playing football as a walk-on in college, you were running, you won stuff in England, and then you're a sports agent. Where are these failures? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're really successful. Sounds like you could have stopped at being an NFL agent and been better than... most people. And I can see it's bringing a tear to your eye.
No, it's not that. It's just, I think I wasn't successful in those things as I should have been. And that upsets me because it's like, you want to see your full potential. And I never got to see my full physical potential with sports. The movie stuff I got into and the acting came out because I would help raise money for a movie. And instead of me taking a credit, I said, give me an acting role because I'd make money.
Right.
That's the only reason why I took it.
Yeah.
I can't act for shit. If you watch the stuff, they're awful.
Okay.
I could probably act now because I'm probably more confident in myself.
Yeah,
now
you really are. Yeah,
but that's from years of talking to thousands of people.
But why are you so tough on yourself?
I've always been my worst critic. I think you're tough on yourself. We are.
I didn't start Cameo. I'd be less tough on myself if I feel like I'd gone further.
We're all tough on ourselves.
But you're young. You're an agent at like 28 or something in the NFL. Yeah. It's like you were.
I think I was like the first British NFL agent as well. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it just things didn't always work out. Like I have these big dreams. At the end of the day, things not working out tends to equate into your success with money, what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Los Angeles, whatever I made went out the door. And it was killing my soul. You know, you're spending more money than you're making.
How's that? What are you doing? Buying houses?
No, I'm not buying houses or anything at that time. It was
cars?
Just, no, I wish. I wish I could say I blew it on something. Just, no, being a dad, being a provider, just money just going out the door.
How old were you when you got married and had kids?
I've been with my wife since we were 16. So we've been together 20 years. And we got married my senior year of college. So I don't know. Forget how long we've been married. We've been here 20 years. I don't discount that.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So
take me back to the early days of Cameo. You have four people on it that are going on social media saying, hey, go to the App Store, Apple or Android and download this app. And how does it grow?
It's just blind drive. That's it. Because when when Cassius went on, Cassius Moss was the first person to do it. When he went on and he said, he was like $5. We got one booking from 17,000 people. It was $5. Oh my God, this is awful. What a dumb idea. Because especially, I didn't really understand social media back then. Now I understand social media. So we thought 17,000 people are going to see this. Oh my God, they can't wait to spend this $5.
Right.
You just can't wait.
Right. I'm with you there.
One.
Wow.
One person. Oh my God. But the best thing happened. The dad that bought the video, recorded a reaction video of the girl screaming and crying.
Oh.
And then we felt like we had something.
Mm.
That was the blind drive part because not many items, you know, not many things. You know, buying this RV, you probably weren't screaming and crying. You know, there's not many things you buy that you have that reaction.
Right.
So we felt we had something special.
I still cry every day I look at this RV.
And I put it there. And so there was a blind drive. And I think sometimes you've got to have that. Like when you're doing your stand-up, no one's really laughing. You're getting a few laughs. You're trying to work yourself out. You've got to have a blind drive that there's something there.
Mm.
And just every day, every day.
And you had that with Cameo.
Yeah,
so, even with that failure early on. So you felt it once you got that reaction video. You said, oh, there's something here.
Well, for me, I wanted to meet the talent.
Yeah. So how fast does it grow? It goes from 4 to what, 10? Or is it all of a sudden 100? Does it unravel?
I think the first year was like, man, not that many people. Like, I know the first year, I probably only signed up 80 people. That was it. So 2017, 80 people. I think that was it. And then 2018, I just kind of saw the mate. I just got it. And then I was signing up 150 people, 200 people a month.
You're like a digital door-to-door salesman.
no, I don't want to be that way. I was like the guy in Vegas hanging out the little flies.
With the naked women coming to the strip club. They always do this. Like, you're just trying to walk by and they're like sticking you with it. You're like, shit away from me.
Yeah, but you see those guys.
Fly a person.
They got you.
Yeah, they poked me. They do it in New York City too.
Yeah, you got to be out in the streets. You can't be knocking door to door because nobody's at home.
Am I wrong to think that you're set for life financially?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you.
I should be.
Yeah. So, and this is, you still have Cameo. You're still receiving your dividends or your money from it. It's amazing. I just don't, it grew to the point, it had to have tipped. Like, how many people are on it now?
About 50,000. But it's, talent's different because we have like animals on there. Like, we have a pig that's made like 30,000.
Aren't there qualifications? Like, you have to have 20,000 Instagram followers.
There was that, but that doesn't always mean anything. There's like, I remember getting on an actor from Game of Thrones.
Right.
A guy called James Faulkner. I believe he had like 100 followers.
Mm.
And I was watching the show because I love Game of Thrones. And I go, I think he'll do well.
Right.
And I just thought, if he'd gone to character, I think he'll do well. And I just messaged him on Instagram. He gave me his telephone number. I spoke to him for 45 minutes. I said, get into character. And he did tremendously well with it.
Wow.
He made more the money than most people that have maybe even a million followers.
Are you getting along with all the co-founders?
Yeah, there's no issue. Yeah, no issue.
Would you do something else with them? Is there another venture? It feels like there could be a spin-off.
Do you know what? I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I mean, for me, it's entertainment, so I'm looking to do more stuff in there. And I don't, from my understanding, I don't think Steven or Devin have that interested, from my understanding. I think they're more into their tech stuff. And for me, like I said, when I was doing the travel show stuff, it says my heart beats again.
Yeah.
I get excited about it. Like, you know, even talking, you know, I realize now we should do a bodybuilding show with you because you're a bicycle. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. How big of a failure this would be. I have been working out my entire adult life, starting in high school.
Yeah.
Not one time has anybody ever come up to me in any gym and asked me, what are you doing for your arms? What are you doing? Nobody's asked me for advice.
Intimidating. You're intimidating.
Yeah. I make these really funny videos at the gym where like I walk up to people and go, they're doing like lat pull downs for your back. And I'll go, that's for your back. And like, you know, like just pissing people off.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one video that's been seen several million times on different platforms where there's a guy leaning on a piece of equipment on his phone. And I said, I'm sorry, are you using this? And he said, oh, no, sorry. And he walks away. And then I lean up against a piece of equipment and I start on my phone. So I just start, you know, using my phone.
It's funny. This needs to be.
So what is it? So now it's producing.
Producing for now. Like, you know, I haven't worked this out, but today I think I had an idea for comedians.
I told you should sponsor a tour, but.
Yeah, you said that to me, but no, I had an idea actually because I love it, actually.
Do you want to tell me? Yeah,
I just thought, it doesn't matter. If I don't do it, somebody's going to take it anyway. So
yeah, well.
I just thought, like, you know, look at these touring things. Like, you could probably make an app for that. Be able to, like, book your own shows.
Mm.
Go to the improv, do it all for an app.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it for, like, giving away all this money. I don't know. Like, John's doing it by himself, he says.
Yeah.
Like, the hotel. I don't know. There was something that came to me
but
today.
There was a time John had an agent and manager and had people doing that. But, yeah, nowadays, we're so accessible. Again, Cam. So, here's the duality. The double-edged sword or the coin with two sides, whatever analogy. The technology is probably making me more money. Meaning, like, people can go to my website, hit contact, they can hire me for private shows. I told you I love to do these private shows. So I love that aspect. So John can book himself now, whereas he couldn't really do
that.
He's
saving loads of money doing that, right? You're giving away money for
something. But it's a lot of work.
That's what I'm saying.
But agents take 10%. It's not like Cameo.
I just think that's, you could do that on an app.
Yeah.
You know, like, hate to be like booking an Uber, but like booking a stand-up.
Yeah.
It's the same. I'm not trying to like compare a stand-up to an Uber, but that kind of rule applies. Hey, we're this comedy club in Tampa. Hey, you know, whoever.
But the comics, we know all the comedy clubs, so we can just reach out directly.
Yeah, but you don't, though, do you?
I think I do, yeah, for the most part. Or I could find them. I think it's more, but I think there is an app that does this for colleges. And
probably
for,
is.
Yeah.
There probably is. I was so locked up trying to get hold of you to get on Cameo.
Yeah, I love it. So before we end, is there any questions you want to ask me as someone who loves comedy?
Yeah, I...
Meaning you. You love comedy.
No, I do love comedy. Like I said, I find comedians the most fascinating. I think if you look at marketing, I think comedians are the ones that they make you laugh. So you're more likely going to watch that content of, this Coca-Cola up here, that Coca-Cola commercial, because there's a bunch of comedians doing it. And I think that's something that's lost. And I think I love a comedian's brain. I just think the way they try to make people happy through all their misery and all their problems, I think there's something very pure about that.
And in all your travels and all your pitching cameo to athletes and politicians, did you find any other brains that are similar to a comedian's?
No, the only thing I've seen similar is the anxiety, actor and comedian. But then they're kind of similar because sometimes comedians become actors.
Right.
Whereas I've noticed that actors have a really very anxious people, and they're very mindful of how they're perceived, because an actor is too tall, too short, too fat, too thin, too good looking, too ugly all in the same day. So now they become paranoid about what you think about them. So that joke, that person not laughing, who cares? Well, the talent does.
Yeah.
You do care.
Yeah.
Now you might be better at like forgetting about it, but you care. Whereas I can speak to a sportsman who's making $20 million a year and they go, okay, I'll do this thing.
Yeah.
Because it's off the field money. I say the word off the field and they go, oh, I need to be doing more of that.
Oh, I like that term, off the field money.
Yeah. And so there's certain words that resonate.
Right.
So like sometimes if I speak to an actor, I say, look, you're in your head. You're overthinking it. And they go, oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And it's just bringing that comfort to it. So I would say actors in that, it's really interesting. Like I'm going to listen to the Jim one. Is this a marketing for me saying Jim's name, Jim Clemente?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
The profiling, you know, I'm fascinated by it because I think, you know, as individuals, we like to think that we're so unique, but the category we're in, we're very similar.
Right. Well, I think, and I floated this, the problem with Jim and I, we were just, the energy was manic. It was nonstop.
So we haven't got the energy?
No. This I was thinking earlier, this is a really strong conversation. And you're getting me to think a certain way. And I'm really coming up with questions that I wouldn't have normally. You have me feeling very comfortable. I hope you're feeling comfortable too.
Yeah, of course.
I hope, and I've watched a few of your interviews and, you know, they asked you pretty boring questions. And I think that I hope that this felt like I was coming in at a different angle. That's my goal.
Yeah, always. This just feels like we're having a lunch.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm having getting to know you.
Yeah.
And I think what I liked about this was we literally have never spoken apart from the 5 minutes of the improv.
Right.
So I think that was something interesting about this. And I kind of like the idea of it being raw and natural.
Well, that's the way I think it should be. And then we can be friends after this and
meet
up.
Of course.
And John, you think John will come on this podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see if he works now. Let's see if we can get him to agree to come.
And then I'm going to ask you one final question.
Sure.
And it will be if he doesn't pick up, we'll just go straight into it. Are we FaceTiming him?
You said FaceTime.
Yeah,
we'll look at that production value.
He'll be impressed.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be impressed. What do you want?
Oh, wait. Can you show your face, John? You're on the podcast. Oh, look at it.
What's he doing? I can't even see him.
Recorded, John.
I see a... Put him up to the camera.
This camera, this one there?
Yeah, that one's good.
Oh, you want to do
it? It's blurry. Let me see if... let's see. John!
Oh, look at that face. Oh, he's a movie star. No,
look at you. What are you doing?
I'm busy.
Martin said, you're so bored that he can get you on this pod. He can get you on the phone anytime he wants. Yeah, well, that's what he said.
No, I said he doesn't do anything.
Oh. Hi, John, how you doing?
He's retired.
Good.
Yeah.
But I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah, we are too. It's called a podcast.
Oh.
I'll give you back to Martin. You'll come on sometime.
You want
to
come on, John?
I can't hear you. It's cutting out.
Oh, see how his voice is?
Yeah, he hung up on us.
Yeah.
What?
So you couldn't hear. To be fair, I think my phone is a bit funky.
Yeah, yeah. As somebody very connected in the digital world and somebody who's younger than me, what advice would you give me? Like, where am I out of touch?
I think what you were saying about the problems of what you don't like to do. So you don't like comment on the comments. If it doesn't feel organic.
No, I like comment. I love that.
There's parts of things you just feel like you've got to constantly, like, you just want to practice and being the best comedian, the best artist you can be. And now you have to be like, I don't know, interacting with your fans, which you like to do, but it is a full-time job that.
Yeah.
And it sometimes takes away from the art and you're like, oh my God, I've got to do this instead of actually thinking about the next stand-up bit, the next joke, the next bit. And I would say I'd hire somebody that can do that for you, that can help your digital presence.
Mm.
you know, you don't follow anybody.
That's on Instagram. I do on Twitter,
But I'm saying, on Facebook. That following thing also makes an impact. And see that?
I know.
That deep breath, you see that? There's all these.
Can't I just be funny on stage, Martin?
What I'm saying is, this is something that's unnatural to you. So have someone that's better at understanding your voice and helping you do that part of the business.
Yeah.
Because you could be losing business. And it might not change your life, but it just will get you more eyeballs. It will get you more interaction. People will engage with you more. The power of the cameo, which people don't understand, is you're engaging with somebody. Now, you know, you're talking about comments on comments. Why is that important? Because that person feels they know you because you responded back.
Right.
Cameo's that on steroids.
Yeah, I get
that. The Incredible Hulk took.
I get
it's something else. Like, I've heard people who have my line at my Comic Cons are longer because they've done all these video messages. Yeah. Hey, I got a cameo.
Look at you, selling to the very end. Guest today, Martin Blenko.
Mom, Dad, cool him.
Did I say that right? Yeah.
I think it's okay.
I told you, I'll do this as coach until this movie comes out. But if I'm pathetically embarrassed, I'm coming for you.
But guess what? If you're embarrassed, it's Fish and Chip newspaper.
Do you think you should take me out for lunch one time and then really try and... I feel like you could get a lunch or two out of you for this.
No, don't worry. I'll take you for lunch just for fun.
Just for fun?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like getting random people together.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it'll be fun. So I get like one of my buddies is Sharva from System of a Down. He'll turn up and then we'll have like Scott Hanson, who's the host of NFL Red. So I like bringing people that have good energy together and just having a good time.
Let's do it.
That's really important.
Yeah, let's do it for sure. Awesome. And Martin Blenko is on Cameo.
Yes. I'm $5 now. I raised it.
$5.
I was a dollar for a while.
$5. And after you commission yourself and then take it back.
Oh, I hate it.
You're back. You're with me, Martin. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
What's Wrong with Oney Adams? Episodes of Music Done. Episode 68. We're done. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank everyone that watches this on, where do they watch me? I got one of those Patreons.
I do that too.
I have a Patreon. Then this video gets up on YouTube eventually. I want to thank everyone that's watching me on my More Than Loud video. I want to, and the email for the podcast is whatswrong@orneyadams.com. So if you have questions, like let's say you want me to ask Martin a question, let me know. And let me know what you think of me going on Cameo. Is this a good idea? Is it? Also, I want to thank Ernesto Hurtado, who is polishing this audio and making it great and really helped me on 66 and 67 when everything failed, the video and audio.
I said that earlier.
Well, who do you know? Do you know people?
Yeah, I know people.
Young and hungry?
Yeah.
Like, I want someone running this. Somebody should be looking at the board going, the chip failed. We're putting in a new chip. That camera's battery's about to die. We'll plug it in. Like, I need people like that. Do you know, Martin, I'm going to tell you something before we wrap this up. I'm a one-man production. So I book this. Then I write the material for it. I perform it. I edit it. I'm the promotions department. I do everything.
I don't think you have time to do Cameo. I'm sorry. We can't have you. They're going to let the videos expire.
There you go. No Cameo for Orney Adams. Thank you so much. We'll see you again. What's Wrong with Orney Adams? Episode 68. We're done. That's it.
That was awesome.
That was great. Thanks.